right. I guess I will lead the first part of the meeting, since we still don't have a chair. Let me pull up my own copy of this. Okay, we're going to skip the call over Pledge of Allegiance and welcoming today. We'll do that officially next time. And the roll call. So we're going to just go straight into the commission meeting agenda items. So first thing is approval of June 22nd council meeting minutes. That's in your packet, and I hope everyone had a chance to at least look over it. So as a commission, you need to make sure they're accurate, make sure you feel like it is in line with what we discussed last time, and then I'll ask for someone to make a motion to approve those minutes, and then someone will second it as well, if you guys remember that pattern. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
I move to approve.
Terry? Motion to approve. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, seconds it. All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Should I vote?
Yes.
Because
you're not a chair. Well, you can abstain.
Here.
You can abstain.
Yeah. I should abstain because I wasn't here.
That's fine. Can you mark that? Should abstain. And then any opposed? Great. Okay. Pretty easy. Let's move on to agenda item number two so that we can get the commission chair rolling. So last time, if you remember, we had calls for an appointment to a commission chair position. And it was unanimous to appoint Shannon Miller. Shannon, we've chatted with you. You were here. You weren't here last time.
That's what you get for not being
here. Yeah.
That's what you get. One more time, though, in case anyone's changed their minds, is there any other appointments that we want to consider? Okay. Shannon, would you accept the position?
I would.
Okay.
Thank you.
Call for motion to accept Shannon Miller is the chair. Anyone go for that motion?
Aye.
All right, Nikki. Anyone want to second that?
I'll second.
Anyone second? Everybody in favor? Say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Great. All right.
Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you, Shannon.
Yes, thank you.
And well, hopefully, I don't remember, Mary. You might have to help me remember how long the commission chair's appointment goes for. Is it a year?
I don't know. Back and look.
I might have to double check.
I'll go back and look.
I know you were the chair previously for multiple years.
It's either 1 or 2 years.
Yeah, I will double check.
So it may be one.
And I kept trying to plan so that somebody could come behind me and take my place.
Yes.
So I could be.
Yes, and it's hard to fill this
nobody
position.
Nobody would do it.
So. We'll work on that. But for now, thank you for serving.
Sure.
That raises a question on the length of our appointment as committee members.
2 years.
2 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it would be this year and next year.
Yes.
Because we basically called it January. So.
Yeah. We're counting this year. And we've only kind of started halfway through. And Shannon, if you're okay with it, I'm going to turn the rest of the meeting over to you.
Okay.
And you can just go through each point.
Okay.
And I can help with a lot of them because
yeah.
I'm the one who wrote all the points.
So
you can be in charge.
Okay. We ought to change places. This is fine. I'm glad you're here. Let's introduce you so that we know who's sitting in our room, and we should introduce also
over here.
Maybe you could tell us.
Matt Gray, the city recorder.
So he's
everybody know Matt?
I do now.
His job is to record the meeting minutes that you guys read. So.
So will you be here generally?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Great. Okay, and I know you as
Anna's dad. Yeah, I'm Ralph Nair, just an interested resident.
Awesome.
Great. So you guys are coming to see what what's going on.
Perfect.
Okay.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. So we are obviously brand new. We're just going to get our feet wet. I like this item number 3, so let's figure out that. The National Register of Historic Places is a really important organization, a thing, a register that, what, 13, 15 houses in the state, in the city of Manti are on. And it draws tourism here. People get interested in how many there are, and they talk amongst themselves, and they come and they visit. And so,
sorry,
13 or 15, something like that.
Does that include the businesses and like the
so.
Tabernacle?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, not just
okay. Okay.
Not very many.
Yeah,
no.
And it's expensive because if you go to get your house put on the register, you have to have a survey of
documentation.
Lots of documentation.
Yeah.
Of what the house is now, what it was, why is it important, what purpose does it serve. I don't know why this comes to mind, but, you know, a lot of our pioneers just built one-room homes, and then they added on a kitchen and a bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And so that form itself, of just a rectangular with a kitchen and a bathroom added on, is really an important part of helping someone understand history and how it formed in this city. And so if you had a house that was a rectangle with a kitchen and a bathroom on it, it would be a prize. It's a prize. And we should have those, and we should recognize them. So you document that, and you learn a lot about how to go about finding information about your house, and you make visits to the city,
the county,
and ask to look at the records, and blah, blah, blah. And you write something up, and you have it reviewed, and they go, this sucks. You should get a professional. and then you shell out thousands of dollars, I don't know, $2,000 or $3,000 to have it professionally done.
So I have a question, because I have looked it up, and it does say that it needs to be historically significant. What is the definition of historically significant? Because my home is old. I mean, it's adobe. I think it was built by Andrew Merriam. I'm not positive on that.
So that would be something you have to find.
Right. I know he passed away in the house because that was in his obituary. But it's significant. It wasn't built by Isaac Morley or anything like that. So what?
I have an answer.
Thank you.
From SHPO's office, Utah State Historic Preservation Office, they have four different points.
Okay.
First is it's associated with an important event or developments in the area.
Okay.
So kind of broad, but yeah.
Maybe it was the first house on the street.
Yeah, sure. That's see that. That
I don't think it was.
Associated with significant persons or past animals.
So what is significant?
You know,
I mean,
people know their names pretty much. They're not
the
just some random. Again,
okay.
This is why we have the state office. They kind of decide these things.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they have
okay.
a review board for this with professionals on it that
okay.
consider these things. So you give them the information that you
and
know,
then they decide if
and they
it's
decide
significant.
Whether it is or not. And then
okay.
There's two other points. It's if it's a good example of important styles or types of architecture.
Okay, it
time,
would be that.
Which I think that would count.
It
that's
would
a
count
lot of
for
times
that.
What a historic building would be.
Yeah.
And
okay.
If it's an important archaeological site.
Okay.
So those are kind of the main things they look
okay.
for.
So to get on the National Register, you go through the state.
Correct.
Right. Right.
Correct. Yeah. That's
so you submit it, and the state forwards it. The state nominates you, and then the national people accept it.
And if you recall from our last meeting, Shannon, you weren't here, but we talked about, and I've already mentioned this to the City Council, making a National Historic
area.
A whole district, right?
District, yeah.
Which means any contributing thing, it fast tracks that, so you don't have to do it all yourself. We as a commission, can designate an area and do the survey, which we might be able to have funded by a local group too. And so all of that funding and paperwork can be taken care of, so that person can just apply for status, and it's a lot easier.
Okay.
So that's what our current goal is right now.
It would be really wonderful, but getting it, you know, you start this process and you go, I can do that. It's just 25 pages. I can fill it out. But it's really not.
No.
You really can't.
Okay.
So to have support. And speaking of support, McKay did a really neat thing to generate support for our town. He put together a meeting 2 weeks ago on a Saturday morning, where the whole board for the state of which he is a member, came and visited and spent the morning. It was really, really lovely.
And we went and visited Terry's home.
We went,
yes. It was super cool.
Yeah, and they've expressed, all of them are, the board is full of people like you guys who are just itching to help with preservation. And they didn't really know much about the county down here because a lot of their work is done in Salt Lake. And they're trying to expand throughout the state. And they have since come to me and they want to do a few different options with us, a few different ideas they had. One of the main ones I was going to tell the commission today was that they want to do a barn tour. A lot of them thought, you know, we've got some of the coolest historic barns in the state here. And that would be a great place to start. We can use the money from the tour to give to those local people who own the barns to keep them up, which I think would be really awesome too. There's a lot of things, but since they're a nonprofit organization, they have that type of influence, infrastructure to do tours, and they have loans and stuff that they do through their organization. So,
super
awesome.
There's a lot
wouldn't
of things
that they want to do. They all recognize the name Spring City.
Yes.
And they all said, we've never been to Randolph. But this guy, the Murray City lady who's in charge of helping people in Murray, realized that the mall is not the center of Murray. There's an actual main street in Murray.
Yeah.
she brought her husband, who was kind of big motorcycle muscles, white beater t-shirt guy, and he came up to me and said, we've never been here, but we came early so we could drive around. And there's something different here. What is it? And I was flabbergasted because we feel that. I feel that. You probably may. I don't know. Do you feel that?
Yeah.
Do you live here now?
Mm-hmm.
So.
We wouldn't have moved here if we didn't feel that.
Yeah. And so for them to recognize, I had three people tell me that, which I thought out of what, 20?
Yeah.
Three
yeah.
out of 20.
It's pretty substantial.
And I just thought that was really wonderful. So. For them to come up with the idea not to copy Spring City with houses, but to do something unique with barns. Mm-hmm. Good for us.
And we can even do houses as well. And we have different houses in Spring City, so it's a whole different tour no matter what. But yes.
Yeah.
If I may, Chair, there's quite a few things we can do in order to get to this point. We have to jump a few hurdles ourselves.
Okay. What are those hurdles, okay?
Yes. So, first, we need to become a certified local government with the State Historic Preservation Office.
Haven't we done it?
We have, but it's lapsed. So
that's
we have to
why we reestablished this commission.
We can't have it if we don't have an active commission.
And that was the first step.
Correct. So now that we have an active commission, we can go through all the points I've included in your packet. There's a checklist towards the end of your packet. I think it's the second to last page if you want to open it up. And I'm going to try to work and do a lot of this outside of this meeting, but the main things that...
Is it the application checklist? There we are.
Yeah, it's called the application checklist. And we're going to go, I'm going to go through all of this with the Historic Preservation Office.
Okay.
But what I really need from you all, especially today, is that last, very last page to fill this out today. It's just a commission member form. Just kind of
do you have those printed?
Yeah, they're on the back of their packets.
Okay.
I sent you a copy of this digitally, but you need a physical copy.
No, digital is great. And I gave this to you in the last meeting, but just in case you didn't fill it out.
Can you fill that out again?
No, don't fill it out again. You're good.
Okay. So you're I don't have to fill it out.
You don't.
Awesome.
Because you're just a liaison.
So since I'm a liaison, do we need to have more members than we have, or are we good? Because there's actually five of us with me.
Mm. In that case, we might either need to get a new person or make sure that you are technically on it. Because I don't think there's a reason for you not to be able to be on it. If you're here.
That's what I was wondering.
In that case, I'll give you one of these things to fill out.
Okay.
I think that will be easiest. Because we do need five, you're correct.
Okay. I think we're one short.
Yes. In that case, yes. I will give you one of those. I'm sorry I don't.
Nope, that's okay. I can get it from you later.
Yeah.
No problem. And I'll get it when we get done here and fill it out for you before I go.
It should be very easy.
Okay.
Anyway, if you want to get that to me as soon as possible, then I can start working with them to do that.
So date of appointment to commission would be January 1st, 2026. Is that when we are putting the date?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I would put that.
And then it's a 2-year term.
Correct.
Okay.
Did you say January?
January 1st, 2026.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
And then it's we called y'all, and that just took us a little while to get organized.
The second point that we have to go over today is the city has to pass an ordinance again on this. We've already done it in the past, but we have to do it again.
Yeah, I've got that's in that packet that I have.
A CLG ordinance or the Historic Preservation
Ordinance? It was the Historic Preservation Ordinance.
And they gave me a new
try opinion. Number three might be the winning try.
Yeah. And I've been doing this for so long. And we have to do it again, they said. And okay. They gave me a template, and I filled it out, and so it's in your packet. There's a whole written ordinance already.
Is it hot in here?
It is a little toasty.
Okay. Let's see if we can figure
it out. So I have it in your packet. You can see it's titled ordinance number blank because it hasn't been finalized yet. If you haven't had a chance to look over it before this meeting, please do before August 12th because I'm going to be proposing this to the city council to adopt on the 12th. It's pretty simple. Thank you.
Hopefully
I think it will.
Oh, yeah.
I feel it will.
Okay. At least for the start of the year.
So please look over the ordinance if you have any concerns with it. I mean, usually this body doesn't write ordinances, but I thought I'd run it past you guys anyway. It's usually me and the city council who do that, but I thought I'd let you guys read through it.
That's good.
It's very simple. It's just the requirement we need.
Yes, you do. Right.
Yeah.
And the council is very supportive of this.
Yes.
They're very, very supportive as a whole body.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, and so this should pass relatively quickly.
I'm thinking it should
be. On August 12th, I think they'll pass it.
Because that will be our next meeting.
Easy.
Yeah.
And then at that point, we can actually submit our certification agreement with the office, which then, once we do that, then we can start applying for a survey for the area. And then once we get the survey, then we can designate the app as a National Register area. So this is kind of all the steps I just wanted to lay out for you.
So with a question about the survey,
mm-hmm.
we have an existing survey, so it would really be an update?
It would be an update. And it has to be done. You guys did the survey yourselves, correct? Or did you bring someone else to do it?
We took what was existing at the time from the state and
updated it yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're requiring us to do it with a certified body that's certified to do these surveys, and they want an updated version.
Mm-hmm.
So they could take the one that you did
and
use it as a starting point.
Yes, and I think that'll help.
So they don't have to reinvent the wheel completely.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually worked for a private planning firm who was certified to do these, so I've done the survey myself too. So I know how it's done. It does take a week or so if they're at it the whole time. It should be pretty simple. I need to find the name, but there is a group here that I mentioned before. Give me one moment, I'll type the name. Who's willing to pay for the survey.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Which is really great.
That's amazing.
We're very lucky.
Yeah.
There's the Pioneer Heritage Group.
Mormon Pioneer Heritage Association.
Let me find their name. Sorry.
Because they have a vested interest in it too, because see, this whole corridor from where does it start, Shannon, down to Kanab is the Mormon Pioneer Heritage.
Yeah, we're part of that.
Area-ish. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what the fancy name is for it, but we're right smack dab in that. And we've got more Pioneer Heritage than pretty much anybody else.
So this is from the Historic Preservation Office. They emailed me and said, Roger Roper is a member of the Mormon Pioneer Heritage Area Board.
There you go.
He reached out to them and noted that they have grants available to fund the project, such as building inventories and the National Register nominations. And this would be a prime project. So they're willing to pay for both.
Wow.
So even if people, like I have a significant house, but I don't have the $2,000.
Mary, you should get on
right
first.
Yeah, there you go.
Great.
So very lucky, and he reached out to me himself, and I've chatted with him. They're very willing. We just have to get through all these hurdles
first. The hoops.
And then they're ready to help us.
Okay.
Where do they get their funding?
I don't know yet. I guess, like you said,
Mount Bona and Roger,
they cover this whole big corridor.
They cover the corridor clear from...
Probably from a lot of private
Fairview
funding.
To, is it Fairview to Kanab? I think it's Fairview to Kanab, down Highway 89, old Highway 89.
And we didn't even have to court them.
So
they were very interested in the attack.
It would be like Joseph, Elsinore, Sevier, Marysvale, Panguitch,
yes,
on Junction, Circleville, all the way down to Kanab on old Highway 88 or 89. It'll just not burn up.
So that's the gist of that. We're really close. We're getting to the final stretch on a lot of these things now that we have all this stuff set up. Yeah, it's really great.
Well, thank you to all of you for accepting this position, because
you guys made it possible.
Wow. If you were the getting the ball rolling type of people. So I cannot tell you how much we appreciate you.
Well, to have the city supportive and to have a planner who loves history is a feather we've never had.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, that's it for me on that point.
Wow. Okay.
So that's a big one.
Okay. Maybe you could. Do you have a little calendar you've already made, or a checklist for yourself, or something?
I'm just following their checklist. That's like in the last page.
Okay.
So I'm just going through it. I don't know how long their processes take, but I'm hoping not terribly long.
Okay.
They're eager to do it, so it doesn't seem like it will be too difficult.
Great.
But I will keep you informed. I will give you guys updates in that process.
That's
awesome. Thank you.
The one comment I must make is that there's never been money for private homes. And to have you say there's money to help somebody do their own survey, oh my goodness, to apply. We could probably get some takers.
You don't know how lucky this is. So
yeah.
That's unbelievable.
I can confirm that it's not only lucky, it's a godsend.
Yep.
So we better jump on it before it's coming.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
General plan, is that where we're at?
That's me
again. Let's talk about the general plan, okay?
Okay, so I mentioned this to a few of you when you came in, but you guys are the commission, but you're also doubling as the Historic Preservation Committee for the general plan that we're doing right now. So I have a little worksheet that we'll go through that I've been going through with all the committees. And this, so we're switching gears a little bit. This is kind of our long-term, let me pull up my own here. Our long-term plan, just so you're aware, it's every 10 years this plan is done. We've already talked about this. Our first unofficial meeting was along these lines. Since then, we've done our community survey that's being filled out. We've got about 300 people already responded, which is pretty good. Usually, just as so you're aware, that's 10% of our population, which for a survey is pretty good. That's usually a good baseline. We're hoping to get more.
How is that survey administered?
So it's online or just paper. And we've sent it out in the bills, the utility bills.
Mm-hmm.
We've sent it out online on our website and through social media. We've been door knocking. I'm going door knocking again tonight from 5 to 9. So if you want to join, your guys are already volunteering. But we're trying to hit everybody possible. We actually have a scout group, this local scout group. One of them are doing the Eagle Project to do this. So he's actually leading it. It's really great.
Yes. Awesome.
So they did that last time 10 years ago, and I thought, let's do that again.
Yeah.
They're a little group of 15. We've been knocking as many doors as we can. So our goal is to get as much as last time, which was 500, if not more, responses.
That'd be huge.
So, but this first big chunk here on your paper you see is the community priorities identified by the public directly from that survey. So I have summarized some of these just so you guys can see it. This is a little different, but just so you can see it yourself.
You can read it. Thank you.
Yeah. So let me go over them really quickly and think about how historic preservation specifically can help achieve some of the community's vision. What the community wants, your committee, your ideas of how we can meet some of these needs. They're all over the board, but I'll go over them really quickly. Zoning reform and property rights. The public wants less restrictions on their personal properties and more restrictions on the big bad, like data centers and all that kind of thing. That's what it is. Safe streets and pedestrian crossings. They've mentioned that. Walking and biking opportunities. Water-wise landscaping and conservation. Some of these might not seem like they're part of historic preservation, but try to be creative and think of how they could be, right? Planning for future infrastructure and growth. Very worried about, you know, making sure we have enough food, power, water, sewer for any future growth that comes in, if it does. Local jobs and economic development that way. Supporting existing businesses. Main Street revitalization. That's a big one for us.
Yeah.
More dining, retail, and community gathering spaces. Housing affordability and housing choice. I'm kind of speedrunning this. Keeping young people and families in the community after they graduate high school, trying to keep people my age, for example. Community resiliency and emergency preparedness for things like fire and landslides and all of those things that could happen. Farmland conservation, dark skies conservation, access to nature and open spaces, preserve that as well. Preserving the rural small town character, historic preservation, that's us. Diverse and welcoming neighborhoods, community events and volunteer sustainability, which means, if we have someone running solely, like 4th of July, to make sure that can be sustainable after that person dies or leaves or something, that event doesn't just die with that person. Farmers market, that's a big one people have asked for. Arts, culture, and recreation opportunities. So this is all over the board, right? Just wonderful things that the city could have or improve on.
Did you see lots of multiples of some of those?
Yes, and these are the ones that have multiples. So there's a lot more outliers, but this list is the majority of what people have said at Summer's point.
I'm glad that that's what people want.
So am I. I'm actually very happy to hear a lot of these things are very helpful. So number one here on your little homework sheet that I've given you is which of these priorities could this committee have the greatest impact on? So take a second to look over that and then maybe write one or two of those ideas down. Thanks. So like I said, obviously there's some really obvious ones historic preservation could focus on, namely historic preservation, but things like local jobs. How could historic preservation promote local job development? That's one of the hopes here, is to be creative on how you can do that. Some people don't.
Tough.
This is a public meeting. But any initial thoughts?
Preserve rural small town character.
I think that's one of our top ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
I actually should have said, but out of all of the community priorities, I think some of the top ones apply to this committee more than any other committee. So honestly, half this list could be this committee. Other thoughts?
I put down future growth. Simply because you and I have visited and discussed about if someone came and said, I want to do a subdivision, we could have some pre-authorized historical appearing home plans.
Complementary, at least.
Complementary home plans that we could say, The city has already approved these plans. You don't have to go through the approval process. If you choose to use these plans in your development, there are certain things you wouldn't have to do, like go through the, but they would be historically complementary homes. You know, they wouldn't look like Frank Lloyd Wright necessarily or something like that. I don't know. He's probably historical at this point in time.
We would have a certain
like
look.
Like cottages and,
we
you know.
Love.
Right, right. We could say, you know, these are, they're affordable. And we could say they're affordable. We could make them, you know.
Smaller,
affordable, without all the bells and whistles that would cost an arm and a leg, but it would be affordable for a younger family that they could maybe move into and finish a basement later or finish an upstairs later if they decided they wanted two or three more bedrooms and a bathroom type of thing. So that's the future growth one. I really liked when you talked about that. So that's something.
Main Street revitalization.
Yeah.
So,
holy
mackerel. With an emphasis on maintaining the historic nature the community.
Exactly. I think that's part of it, right?
We lived in Palmyra for 2 years, and an adjacent community accepted funding for a revitalization, but they just modernized everything, just took the character right away, where Palmyra fought to keep its historic facades.
Yeah.
And it didn't get revitalized to the extent that some of the other communities did, but it was much more charming, and over time, it'll get there.
There were a number of businesses on Main Street that years ago, how long ago was it? 10 years? It's been a while now. When they redid the facade of the senior center and the title company, and there was some funding available for that, for them to redo them, and it was to make them historically accurate. Colors. They used historical colors. They used they took off the stucco on the front of the senior citizen center to expose the stone that was underneath. Put in the windows. They replaced the windows with historically looking windows. They weren't single pane glass anymore, but they were, you know, they were, but historical, you know, appearing.
And we did like the senior center on a, we did it on a dime.
Yeah.
Yes.
There was hardly any money at all.
Yeah.
So I took a class on historic colors and learned about that so that we could pick proper colors.
Pick them, yeah.
Wow. Even though they're not, it's not a beautiful building, it never was, but at least it's maintained. As much as we could.
So I would like to bring up an important point for you guys. Like I mentioned, there's a lot of priorities that the community could care about. And local businesses and promoting and supporting local businesses and helping keep historic Main Street accurate can sometimes be in conflict. I'll give a very recent example.
Yeah.
Rag Eyes is building a new building right now, as you probably have seen. Since they're on historic Main Street, we have already things that they have to do, right? They have to have 50% of their facade needs to either be brick or stone, and then the other 50% needs to be wood siding type of thing. Or, yeah, so it's
hardy, hardy.
Or hardy board, something similar, right? So that it's complementary even if it's a new building. Rag Eyes is one of our few businesses that's like a good local business that actually supports us locally, right? Like really great business, and that was super cost prohibitive for him, and that made him very upset. And he was very like, "Well, you're going to price me out of being here. I can't afford to make a building like that. The only building I can afford to do is metal siding, right?" And so we need to figure out how to. And what you said is rewarding instead of punishing, kind of a thing, right? Carrots instead of sticks is what people call it. And so our difficulty as a commission or as a city body is to not make one thing better by making another thing harder. So as we try to maintain or promote historic stuff, getting grants for people, making the pathway easy, for example, with Rag Eyes, instead of just saying, you have to do this, figure out how to do it, right? And I've talked to other business owners on Main Street who have actually told me the same thing. They said, some of the historic stuff that you put in, it's great, but it just economically is tough to swallow. especially when grants aren't easy to come by. And so I just think that's something we need to be aware of as we consider these things. For example, we could put a whole thing where any new house that's built has to look historically accurate. Nothing would ever be built, right? Like, developers won't come here at all, which...
Not everybody wants that style.
And not everybody wants that style. We have to respect private property rights. Mm-hmm. One of the things that idea that you brought up, Mary, was it's an optional. It's promotional, right?
Yes.
It says, if you want
to consider this,
and it will actually make it cheaper instead of more expensive for you.
Yeah.
So that's what we need to be creative and think about. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'll get off my soapbox. It's something that I've seen a lot with historic preservation.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, we care about this, but then who's going to pay?
How do we do it? Well, you know? I think Ryguys is a great example of how could we be complementary. I met with him at great length.
Yes.
And he told me all the stuff and all the choices. And the thing that popped out for me as we spoke was his signage. I said, how about if you had a signage projecting outward from the building with something hanging, like that thing. He's got a thing in his lobby, a big metal wheel.
Yeah.
Made of metal, that's his thing. He loves flags. He's going to have a big flag. He's going to have a 30-foot flag.
Okay.
And I said, how about a flag? And he said, okay, I'll have a 30-foot flag. So he liked the idea, instead of a plastic thing on the front of the building with modern lights, how about a projecting sign with a symbol hanging? And that would immediately show his willingness to be historic, even though he's limited to a metal.
Yes.
And he's picked out the look with what you've asked.
Exactly.
And then the other thing we talked about was, what about, because you love metal, how about above each of his doors, he's going to have sign, tires, alignment, you know, whatever, all those choices that you pick of repair place. And I said, your guy that made the sign, how about you make those things out of metal and cut the word out, laser cut it out, so the white building
behind
is the word. And he said, I might like that. I'll think about that. I think his wife is quite heavily involved. She's going to have a flower store in there.
Oh, right.
So she has opinions. We need to make sure not to leave her out of the mix.
Yeah. Great. Well, and I think this is why it's so great to have a commission, because the commission, like you're already doing, is helping to figure out how to promote this instead of just telling them no. Right?
Yeah.
So I think that's a really good thing to remember.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we should probably keep moving just so we can get through this.
Yeah.
All right. So number two is to narrow this down a little bit more. So what are some pathways to help address these priorities? What kind of opportunities, programs, events, facilities, partnerships could help address? Maybe you guys already have some ideas. This is kind of your, hey, if you have some ideas, let's shoot them out. So Mary gave her one that we've been discussing, you know, that we've talked about already. That's a program that we could do, right?
Yeah.
We talked about an event already, a barn tour.
A barn again. Oh, so cool.
So, but what else? Kind of a brainstorm. What other ideas have you guys seen that's...
Well, like you mentioned, the farmer's market.
Farmer's market, yeah.
That would be, to
we
me, that would be huge
yeah.
to get a farmer's market back here. And I know the last one, the requirements just became overwhelming.
There's a lot of federal and state.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, how do we either work with those or modify it so that they don't get in the way, or is it, you know, I don't know enough, I'm not conversant enough on farmers markets to know, but I think that would be a huge one if we could get another farmers market established.
So I'm working on it.
So
I've actually figured out all of the pathways.
Good. Awesome.
Most of it's federal and state.
Okay.
The city doesn't really have anything against
farmers
markets. So luckily that's good for us, and we should keep it that way, keep it very easy to have. Usually a farmer's market, if you guys aren't aware, is run by private, you know, it's somebody who, maybe it's a nonprofit or if it's for-profit business, and the city can partner with them. So my goal is to create a very easy, simple pathway for a farmer's market to come, do all the permitting for them, so that we can do it again. So I wasn't quick enough to finish by this year, but next year we should have one.
This was not a great farming year anyway.
No, there wouldn't have been a big one anyway.
We're good.
But
and where would we put it?
So there's a few different ideas, and that's what I wanted your feedback on. In the past, it's been done right by the old city hall, because
right.
it's a park, right? Mm-hmm. And the city gave them power and stuff, and we even helped, I think, with tents.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about that. But if it grows bigger, we might have to move it
to the park.
But I was going to float the idea of either doing it on Union Street, like block party style, where we close down Union Street for the day, at least once, or Main Street itself. We can't close that down, obviously.
Main Street's harder because it's highway.
Union Street for a day sounds fun.
We did for Halloween.
We did two blocks from Union to Second West.
Exactly.
And that actually worked out really, really well for the Halloween.
It doesn't inconvenience.
And there are very
few. Because it's city property.
Yeah.
And there are very few homes along that stretch that would be impacted by it for an extended period of time.
Alternatively, I think I've heard that even the grocery store might be willing to do it in the parking lot, too.
Well, that'd be kind of cool.
So we have some options.
There are some, yeah.
I want it to have enough space to grow, because I would hope for it to get pretty big.
Yeah.
Why not the biggest in the county? You know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
I think Fairview has one.
I think there are a couple.
But there aren't really too many.
Not a lot.
Is it done weekly through the season? Or
some do.
Some start in like the end of July, 1st of August, and they'll run through like the middle of
September.
End of September
sometimes.
Depending
during,
on...
During the harvest.
Yeah.
And, go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
This brings me up a really beautiful idea that we often think of historic preservation as preserving things.
Yes.
You know, like houses and buildings and streets.
Mm-hmm.
But just as important is preserving ideas and preserving
and
experiences and cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And Farmers Market is preserving this old thing that has always gone on. And arts and culture and recreation opportunity, that seems distant from us, but it's actually also part of preservation of the fabric of experiences, because what creates identity are shared experiences with people. That's where identity comes from. That's where culture comes from. If we don't share experiences with people, we never build identity and culture. So the more experiences like Farmers Market you create, the more arts, culture, recreation opportunities that are wholesome, that are aligned with the kind of ideas and historic ideas that we love, that we've always carried, and you know,
exactly.
I think it's going to be a beautiful thing to champion.
I just had another thought too.
Mm-hmm.
If we partnered possibly with the county, we might be able to put it down at the north end of town.
Yes,
and I'm thinking because it's shady down there.
And with county funding, it can get bigger.
And I'm thinking if we use the grass that's to the south of their new building and then over into the pavilion area.
It's such a good space for that.
If we did that, we would not be able to do it during the county fair.
Right.
But even if we just took
that
weekend off, you know, but that's another possibility, especially because I see a farmer's market as being economic development.
Maybe it
can
be part of the fair.
And but they put the car show there.
So that would be a different location.
Yeah, but anyway, that's a potential possibility, because we could approach the county on an economic development avenue. Hey, Manti City would like to sponsor a farmer's market, and if you would like to partner with us on the location, you know, it would be an economic development for not only the city but for the county.
And the hard part for us for Manti is that the county takes up so much of the land.
Yeah.
So this would be a way for them to give back
and partner with us better. And I was just thinking, because it's shady.
And that too.
And I'm like, oh, 5th of August and September, it's still going to be kind of hot. So
there's
a lot of shade down there.
The reason I even put Farmer's Market on here is exactly what you brought up. Is I think it could be a cultural part of Manti.
Yeah.
And not just the food, but we can highlight some of the historic aspects of Manti that way. Maybe we could do some historically accurate booths just for fun or something. Who knows, right? So that's an idea. The other big idea that someone floated to me this week was, why don't we do our own Manti days, you know? And I think that's exactly along the lines of preserving ideas and cultures.
Yeah.
That would help bolster, I think, our identity better. And if we could really base it in our historic heritage.
Yeah.
Because I think that's one of our biggest assets.
We have. What's up?
Exactly. Yeah. And then we can attach on that barn tour to Manti Days. And maybe that's the biggest weekend of the year for the farmers market too, right? So we can kind of bring some of these ideas into one spot.
That's a good idea.
What I mentioned before is being resilient in stuff, because as you guys know, the pageant isn't here anymore. We have a new pageant, and I think that one of our biggest lessons that we've learned as a city is that we need to be resilient, not place our whole identity on one thing.
On one thing, yeah.
So now we have another pageant that's part of our identity, not all of our identity, which is great.
Right.
Is that going to be an annual affair?
Mm-hmm. They're going to try.
That's the hope.
Yes, that is their
desire. They'll get better and bigger.
The same production or different?
No, it'll be the same.
Probably the same, and I think it'll probably just fine-tune it.
Did you go?
Yeah.
It was good.
I can't remember what happened.
I heard it was that. I didn't have an opportunity to go.
Was it 2 days?
They did it 4 days.
Four?
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
It was sweet. It had music you could actually hum to.
Yeah.
Nice original music.
And locally built.
And
that's
locally
pretty awesome.
Built.
So those
and
are the kind of things, right?
They had a nice story. They had great sound.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to hear everywhere. And the thing that I just thought was so sweet is at the end they have a bunch of angels that
yeah,
play a role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it brought back the pageant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good launch, I think.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And the Taiko event,
yes.
The same weekend.
Taiko
oh,
too.
Gosh.
And there's
like 300 or 400 people
there
for that
experience.
One.
So Taiko, what they're working on right now is they are kind of the cultural backbone, beginning to the cultural backbone of the newer part. Because you guys are like the heritage part.
Right.
And then he's working on the health and like multiculturalness of what
that
he's
was
trying
awesome.
To do. So his goal is to make it almost like a worldwide
mm-hmm.
Cultural heritage celebration. Yeah. So not just Taiko, but he'll bring in other groups that will perform too, and capoeira and like all of these different
yeah.
things is what his
Which
goal
is.
Is.
Awesome.
So we're trying to build these new pillars of Manti, and I think we need to figure out where the historic preservation pillar is and what that is. So, number three, based on some of these ideas, what should be our top three long-term goals?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you the
to
example.
To not die.
Yeah.
To not die as a city. But so, for example, this is from the Rec Culture and Events Committee who met. They're focused more on recreation stuff. They talked about their top ones they're focusing on are farmers market as well, so we should work with them. Indoor space, a community rec indoor space.
Oh, I love that.
Already in the works.
Yes.
Biking trails was the third
yes.
one.
Yes.
So
on that too.
That's what they're all focusing on. So
that.
What should this committee be focusing on?
Mm.
What's our long-term goals, do you think? Yeah.
I would say establishing that historic preservation area would
so
be
too.
One of our
yeah.
first ones. Because
yeah.
yeah. we're well into the process of, you know, that's an attainable goal within the next
yeah.
year easily, you
and
know,
really
and it's not going to cost us an arm and a leg, apparently, you know.
And it won't have any negative benefits.
No,
right.
There's no
so
negative benefits to it, but it gives us a feather in our cap to say, and Manti is an festival historic area.
Because
mm-hmm. Spring
yeah.
City right now, they tout that
yeah.
all
yeah.
the time.
That's their thing, right?
That is their thing.
Yeah. Nikki's point about our ideas, I think it's, for me, the strongest long-term potential.
Yeah.
I love that.
When we did the gardens,
mm-hmm.
we met with the church against their will. They didn't really want to meet with us. You just do your thing. We'll just see what you come up with. But they eventually were the best to work with, and Terry and I worked with it at the end together. As an employee of the church, he worked with me to get it transferred to the church.
Them.
That helps a lot.
And it was just, he's the hero of the whole story. But in the planning of our...
You're with your committee that created the
yeah, with the planning, we have a book, I could bring it next time, that talks about early values and how the pioneers figured out what their important stuff was. And their important stuff was water
mm-hmm.
and
makes
values.
Sense.
And so if you look at the values at the garden, they're faith, education, cooperation, and industry.
Yeah.
Those are the pioneer themes that they felt, they consciously thought them out, And so we copied them. We took them and repeated them. So we need to repeat our values and talk about them and make it something people want to glom onto. Because if you think about it, with those four things, they raised their children to be who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they raised their children, and they raised their children. Here we are today.
That's how we got our city.
Yeah, that's why Manatee is so important, because it was created with values. And so we should repeat that.
I'm putting that, I think that's a top priority.
I think it should be a long-term goal to keep more of our business here than to be always sending it to Eden or Gunnison or
whatever. Amen.
We need to take that as a long-term goal.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think those are perfect. That's exactly what I think.
And you know why that's important? I don't do Facebook, so sorry. I won't be seeing your notes or pictures. But occasionally, I am forced into a Facebook conversation. And recently, there's been a conversation on Facebook about somebody from Ephraim. Let's see, I'm interested in the trees on Main Street in Ephraim. I'm interested in our trees. And I think it's a crime to cut a tree down without people knowing about it. And I think it's a crime to lie about them and say they have disease when they don't. And so I think it's a crime for UDOT to say, oh, they're diseased, we've got to take them up, when it's obvious they're not dead. And so anyway, I'm...
On the other hand, the dead ones need to come down.
Yeah, the dead ones need to be handled as they die, instead of leaving them till there's 10 of them. So anyway, I've gotten a little bit involved in that over there, just in discussions.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody from Manatee wrote on Facebook, I don't know who, that they love the trees on Main Street. As a Manatee citizen, they love the trees. So I related to that, because I do too. Then somebody from Ephraim said, wrote this in writing, big long thing, about how you're from Manta, you don't have any say about what goes on in our Main Street. Really snarky and awful and mean. And here we send all this business over there, and they don't want us. So your comment about keep the business at home probably is a good reason for us to consider making it easy to do business.
I did actually, that's a good point you brought up, trees. I wanted to ask this committee about trees. Because trees, you know, we think of water, sewer, power as vital infrastructure for a town.
Trees are often left out
as being a vital infrastructure.
And they are vital.
And they're not just for fun,
mm-hmm.
for decoration. They legitimately create value for our city.
Absolutely.
In very meaningful, impactful ways that are much harder to cultivate than a city sewer line.
Yeah.
It takes years to cultivate a tree.
Yeah.
So I was hoping to have that as one of our goals as well for this commission to focus on, to make an urban tree plan, because
try to
encourage tree planting and make it easy to do.
Okay, so Manatee City's been a tree city for
tree city.
Longer. Our sign says 10 years. I think it's closer to 25 now, probably.
Mm-hmm.
It's longer than 10.
I would say
15.
I did that application.
Did you? Okay. Well, they talked about it years and years ago. It's longer than
18.
I was going to say it's longer than 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so because we are considered a tree city, what are some things that would benefit the city that we're not taking advantage of
from that program?
Do you know what I mean?
I think Lauren, that was Lauren.
I'm trying to remember when that was. It's been quite a while ago. Go ahead.
I think that it's important to have people individually planting trees on their property.
Correct.
It cools the area. It provides shade and all kinds of things. And while it takes a lot of water,
it's still worth it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to, you know, somehow it also improves the cost of property, the
property values,
you are going to get out of your property,
right.
And that is a fact, and so we need to advertise some of that.
In fact, I read recently a study that every tree is, I can't remember how many gallons of water, but it conserves water in the land.
In the long term.
It keeps it in the ground.
So when my mother purchased her property in 2006, I think that's when she bought it, had a huge old walnut tree on it. I mean, it was this big around, literally. But it was dying because it was a black walnut and they all got that disease. And so it eventually had to come down. So I have not replanted anything until, well, okay, that's not true. I tried to plant two linden trees. My renters, they died. So anyway, I did some research about, okay, I want a tree that is not like I like the ones that grow quickly, but then they don't last as long type of thing. So I did some research on the USU Extension website about what would be a good tree to plant that's going to grow moderately fast, it's going to last for 75 to 100 years, and I came up with a bur oak. So I have a bur oak it's on its third year in my yard, and it has almost tripled in height from what it was when I got it. Okay, so it's looking
a burr, B-U-R-R.
The reason I chose that one is, number one, they're beautiful. Okay, in 20 years from now, it's going to give a lot of shade. They're very drought resistant once they get established, and that was they do very well in alkaline soils. So I'm like, oh, that's a win. So what I'm thinking is maybe. Matt Palmer is the USU Extension agent here, and I'm wondering if maybe we would like to, at some point when we're talking about events, have what kind of landscaping would work well in my yard.
Upstairs.
People said that. That's one of their main things.
Yeah.
They want drought tolerant.
Drought tolerant.
Conservation,
water-wise
stuff.
That the deer won't eat. Now, I do have my tree fenced off because every time I take the fence down, the deer kind of nibble on the leaves. So I'm like, okay, we'll just leave it fenced off. But a lot of the other stuff I planted because I love them, but they're also very deer resistant. And I didn't even know that when I planted them. Bee balm, echinacea, what else do I have? Irises. They love lilacs. I did plant two lilacs, but they're fenced off too.
Is there anything that emits an odor?
Yeah, anything that is very, very odoriferous, they don't like. Mm-hmm. Anything that smells. Except for lilacs. They really like lilacs. And roses.
But
they like roses.
Changing.
They are changing. That is true.
Including green pepper.
That is true.
Garden.
Yeah.
So I would like to say
we've got to get rid of the deer. That's what happened.
That's one of the things I've heard.
We are working on it.
So with the trees, we are, again, we lapsed in our tree.
Tree City, okay.
Tree City designation.
Maybe that's why it only says 10 years.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know. Either way, you know how I mentioned to you we need a resilient volunteer base?
Mm-hmm.
Because that committee dissolved.
Okay.
And now that we don't have a tree committee anymore,
we can't be a
tree. It lapsed. And so because this is one of the three main groups, my ideas was, can this double as well as our tree committee just on the side? Just because this one or the planning commission, I don't know if it's possible because we had a committee before but it just kind of died out. And I'm trying to find something that will last.
I think we need to do is, and that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
I think we need to make sure that the parameters that are involved in becoming a tree city again are ones that the citizens will accept.
Yes. Exactly.
Because if it's like, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't cut your tree down, you can't, you know, I think that's going to be a no-go.
Right.
But if it's broad enough that we were here to help you, not hinder you, not tell you what you have to do and how you have to do it.
Yeah, I believe it is very friendly.
It is. And yeah. I mean, we've already
as long
done
as
it, so people are used to it.
As long as it's tree, as long as it's citizen friendly, I think
it
would be okay.
And so maybe I need to ask you, and since you've done it once before, I want to get re-certified.
I think that would be wonderful.
We need it, because our trees are just slowly going
to
die.
It seemed like that was a lot easier to do.
Yeah. Yes, it's a lot easier.
Yeah, it's
than
not.
Doing, so
not
it should be
hard
that.
To, and I don't think it's super expensive. And
one thing that never got done that was going to be done was the city was going to buy a bunch of saplings, and on a certain Saturday, on a certain weekend, with the right time of year, with lots of good advertising and events, sell trees for $2.50.
Which would be great, but you better sell some fencing with them, so that, because the deer will just.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
Sure,
at this point in time, that, years ago, that was never an issue. But nowadays, it is awful.
Well, you guys are already getting into the last point, doing what we can be done. Number four is specific actions to help achieve these long-term goals. So, first one, simple, straightforward. We already have the short-term actions. We're doing it right now. To be certified local government, get the survey done. That one's easy. Number two, this one's a lot more amorphous. Preserve ideas and culture. I think we can put under that probably like the farmer's market.
Farmer's market.
Mm-hmm.
But What are some other more specific steps that we've already discussed, just so we can have it written down, specific steps to do that?
I would like to see us use that beautiful, very poorly kept auditorium upstairs and update it
in the process, in the works,
and make it so people want to go there, and maybe have a money jar outside, a big one, with help us donate here.
Well, and Deepak is taking over the. We're kind of doing a the city is doing a cooperation with Deepak now, and they are going to be doing.
New seating.
If they ever tear the theater down.
Tear what theater down?
The Southtown.
Oh,
yeah, we'd get their seating.
We'd get their seating, and they would replace those old seats with new seats. We would lose a little bit. Like right now you can seat like 270, and it would seat like 230, but the seats will be so much better. And they won't be like, if once somebody sat down, you can't get in or out. You're a captive audience. So
I also say, I'm going to throw another idea at you guys. An outdoor amphitheater. I had a private resident come to me and say, why don't we change the old historic quarry into an outdoor amphitheater?
Which historic quarry?
Well, the quarry on the hill, by the, which I think it's
all privately owned, right? Half of it.
Yes.
And
I
the
said that would
Temple
be very difficult,
View, owns the other half. But the Temple View Resort might be very interested in something like that.
The campgrounds?
The campgrounds.
Yes. So that's what I was going to say. Maybe it's not quite in the quarry, but nearby.
Close to the quarry.
And I think they're very interested in.
Because my understanding is that own the quarry. I know it'll come to me tomorrow. It'll come to me.
Wasn't it Faith Tom?
No. Keith. What was his name? Yeah, that's the guy. I know the last name. It'll come to me.
Yeah.
But yes, you're right. So they own the majority of it, but part of it is on the Temple View Resort campground property.
Mm-hmm. I was just wondering, I know there's going to be a lot of hurdles to it, but talk about adaptive reuse and historic preservation. That core is pretty important to us.
Mm-hmm.
And to preserve it, put up landmark markers, and like have an outdoor venue for the pageant, by the way, or like other events.
Or concerts.
Like Snow College, you can come here.
Wouldn't
that be cool?
Yeah.
So anyway, there's a lot of things we can
do. And it's in the shade in the afternoon. I'm all about shade this year. So.
All right, sorry, that's maybe a little off track of what we're doing, but other ideas?
Walking tours.
Walking tours, let's get one or two of those up.
Updated walking tour pamphlet. And that would have to be in conjunction with the county because they're the ones that printed it.
Sure. I'd also say, Shannon, that beautiful park across that you were just talking about, the Pioneer Heritage Park.
Yeah, Pioneer Heritage
Park. Underutilized. Can I say that?
I think
we should really promote it.
I think the church would cooperate.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like it's such a beautiful space. It's all fenced off, pretty much, so people might not even know they can go in there.
I get about 10 calls a year.
Yeah.
People want to schedule it.
Let's make that 50.
But then there's a lady in Sterling's job that is to schedule it, and she gets a lot. So there's use that's quiet use, small use.
I just think we should get some programming in there, so not like so we can actually like, if we did like an anti-city days, we could do like something in there for like the ceremonies or something. So look at these ideals.
We have a little amphitheater. Yeah.
That's not really used for much.
No.
Right? People go and visit. But
has power and everything.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you can actually have some sound.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should be using it for something because it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's actually a really great part of the town.
Mm-hmm.
We do need to repaint the pool.
I've been talking to him about it all summer. You agree? I'm so glad.
Is this the FM? One from
Beaver.
What's his name?
Mitch Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody, while we were on our mission in Toronto, went in there and said, oh, this needs to be painted. And so somebody else said, okay, let's paint it. And they picked a color that's dirty and dead and horrible and awful and very bad. And so I've been It's an definitely a conversation.
I can reinforce that. I can talk to Mitch.
Yeah.
Great. Awesome.
And I'm sending pictures of the color that it should be and why you picked that color. We want to reflect the temple in blue sky, not in a storm.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, last one, promote business here. What are some specific goals that we can do?
Well, we have one large storefront that is currently for sale.
Jensen's?
No.
Well, Jensen's
next door. Oh, Jensen's is in process.
Yeah.
Lindell's, that's a prime location. The problem is right now they are thinking it's worth lots of money, and they're probably not quite as much as they think. So a lot of this comes down to money.
And
you know,
there's a difficulty here because the top. Been researching a lot about vacant Main Street buildings and how to fill them. The top way that people around the country are doing this, promoting this, is making a tax on a vacant lot building. That if it's not being used, you have to have a tax. Mm-hmm. So it incentivizes someone to get it sold quicker and cheaper.
And to get it filled.
I hate doing that to a local person, though, because that's just horrible, right? Because they might not, like, they might not have the money to pay those taxes. And like we've already been talking about this whole time, I don't like punishing people. So I want to come up with an incentive to sell these places.
So right now...
But that's my last resort.
We have the Bishop Storehouse that's empty. Unfortunately, it's owned by the courts, and they're very...
And they don't want to put anything in.
They don't want to put anything in there.
Owned by who?
The courts. The Sixth District Courts. The Utah State Courts.
What?
Bought that one. The Utah State Courts bought that when they bought the old property from the parachute plant.
And they were going to tear it down.
And they were going to tear it down, and we're like, no, don't tear it down. And then it had Wildflower in there, and then they told Wildflower they had to move. And we're like, wait. They were supposed to have a lease that went on forever. And by the time the court said, okay, fine, she can stay, she had already relocated to Eaton. Then they put the pet store in there, which did not work out well. And then the courts, once they moved, closed out, the courts have just said what they want it for is for attorney's offices.
No,
that is what they want it for, is attorney's offices. But unfortunately, it's not set up for attorney's offices because attorney offices need to be private, and that's not. Anyway, so you've got that one. And then you've got the Main Street Clinic, old place where, and Gunnison Hospital, I'm assuming, are the ones that, I don't know if they own that building, but they are the ones that moved out of it and no one else has moved in. Now you've got the gal that was in the health and wellness place where the chiropractor used to be, and that one is now for rent because she has moved out of it. And I think there is a possibility of somebody looking at that is what I heard. Did you tell me that? Anyway, there is a possibility, potential that another healthcare person is looking at that one.
And title company.
And then the supposedly Central Utah Title is going to be relocating to Ephraim over in Ephraim Crossing at some point in time. Yeah. That will leave an empty one in the post office building. And then driving up the street, you've got the professional title is good. You've got the one that Jeannie Diamond owns, the two houses that are next to each other. That one, again, it's set up now for a duplex. Yeah. You've got that. And then coming around, you've got Lindell's. Therapy West, that building is for sale, but it's just the building. I think Therapy West has a year and a half. I talked to Sandra Cranty. They have a year and a half lease left on it, but they are not interested in purchasing the building. So I don't know whether they would go someplace else. And then, of course, you've got the Lindell's property, which they want, someone threw out the sum of $800,000 for that one, which it's a large building, but it's going to need an extensive amount of restructuring.
Yeah, I saw that.
There are some good things that are going to be happening in Jensen's. It's not going away. It's still going to be operating as a business.
Local business, yes. Which is really great.
And then... Shop. And the bike shop is still in there,
and possibly something
else is going in there. Anyway, and then you've got Dave Hall's beautiful building that
with a parking lot.
Are we doing something about that?
We wish.
We're working. We're
if you got
to.
If you got $3 million, you want to drop on it.
That's the problem. Rent is too high, buy is too high.
Yeah.
But it could be a wonderful community.
It could be an unbelievably good something, but I don't know anybody who's got $3 million or willing to drop on that right now. And I think that's our main business area.
And that's just Main Street.
And that's just Main Street. So.
So in a tough spot. So how can historic preservation promote these local businesses? What can historic preservation do to promote? Not restrict. Mm-hmm. Improving
the shop at the ones, encourage people to shop at the ones that are there.
Yes.
I know at least one person who says.
I'm happy to see that billboard out front say shop local.
Yeah.
That's nice.
The bike shop is doing good.
I'm glad. And I'm glad they're there. And it's not like you need a bike shop all the time.
The bike shop.
Yeah, Indigo. They're great. I've taken 3 bikes into them, and they're awesome. They're absolutely fantastic.
When we get those bike paths, we're going to get a lot more business there.
That will be really, really good. Really good. So, I think.
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know.
I'd say pursue grants. Anything that we can get.
Vitalization grant.
Because even just a little bit with facade grant help, it changes the business for the better.
Yeah.
I mean, Candy's on Main. One of the nicest looking buildings.
Oh my gosh, that's
and it's because of that grant. Mm-hmm. So.
How can we showcase the ones like Candy's and like the senior center and the ones that have taken the
Maylett. Maybe did you know
Maylett?
Yes.
Maybe how would it be weird at the beginning of city council meetings to have a 2-minute did you know such and such about Candy's on Main? Did you know such and such about
and the
DPAC?
3 people that are at our meeting would love that. I'm pretty darn sure.
3, the rest of the announcements.
No, that's about all we have.
We could work with the local paper. A public education, I think, is a paper.
There you go.
Local paper, we can say, hey, we'll pay you some money to showcase this business.
If we had, and see, they do, that's advertising. They do advertising. So we could, you know, buy a thing like once a month in the paper and say, a little place, did you know?
Come shop here.
This is, you know, something like this. Did you know that Zions Bank used to be blah, blah, blah? Did you know that the original Manti Market was the first ZCMI store in the state of Utah and has been rebuilt at This Is the Place Mon?
If you guys are okay with it, I'd love to make some social media posts, videos. I could video somebody if they want to come and like, talk, and I'll just record, or I'll
That'd
do it
awesome.
Myself. Say, did you know every week?
That'd be great.
And we'll just go. We'll go.
Maybe we need an up and coming. How about Miss Manti does that?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Hey, that's a good idea.
Yeah, now you're thinking. Because everybody wants to know Miss Manti.
Mm-hmm. That's a great
idea. To see her face.
She would like it.
And she'd be good at that.
Mm-hmm.
She'd be really good at that.
Okay, I'll do that.
And you know, at the performance we went to of the pageant, there were 5 or 6 men wearing Manti City volunteer vests, red.
Yeah.
So you printed a bunch of those
we
and
have
hand them.
Yes.
them out for whatever.
We have those
now. I just thought that was awesome.
And we had them, and they were just red. Mm-hmm. And so this year we decided to put Manti City and volunteer on the back of them.
They're going to be wearing them to the outdoors tonight.
Perfect. We can use them at the sports park. We can use them at the 4th of July. We can use them at the for anything.
It makes us look rid of the community. This community cares.
Yeah.
This community has, I don't know what they're doing, but they're doing something.
Yeah.
Well, and it gives them some legitimacy.
Yes.
Because it says Manti City. Because people are very questionable about somebody coming up to their house and knocking on the door or doing something else. But if they have something on that says Manti City Volunteer, it's like, oh, okay, then you're probably legit.
And there's the county fair.
Yeah, that's a good option. Yeah, good possibility.
Okay, Chair.
Okay.
That's all I've got.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. This is super helpful. This will be immortalized in the plan.
Let's do it.
And we'll do it.
So we don't have any continuing business. We handled that at the beginning. Does anybody have any report or any
I do.
Input?
Because I did go on the tour with the Preservation Utah people, and it was fantastic. We started out in Sterling at the Thomas Grocery, and I thought they knew all about it, but apparently they didn't, because I'm like, yeah, we used to bring our kids out here to buy caps, because you couldn't buy caps then, just any place. And so I told them a little bit about that, and got Lily, and then we moved into Nanti, and Terry, your the beautiful home, Scalino's home, it's absolutely gorgeous. And then we went up to Spring City and did some touring up there. And the one thing that I noticed particularly that I think is probably because we were like, how can we encourage people who have older homes to fix them up and do beautiful things like Shannon's done and like you've done and like, you know, a lot of other people have done your beautiful home. And the biggest problem I see is that the people who own a lot of the historic homes here in Manti do not have $100,000 or $200,000 to drop on fixing this up the way it could and should be fixed up. I personally am in that position. I am doing my very best to fix up my home, but it's an ongoing, like, 5 to 10 year process because I can't do that much money. This morning, I was tearing off old vinyl siding because I need to redo the siding on this little bump out on my house, and I, you know, my kids have been really good to come and help, but they're busy and they have lives. And so I'm out there tearing vinyl siding off on the ladder going, I shouldn't really be on the floor.
Well, that's where our handout can come in handy with people who ask for building permits or people who come in and say, what can I do around here? I'm so mad. Or why are you doing this? Answer their question and hand them one of those.
Yeah.
You know.
So that there are some, you know, say, yes, there are some grants available. If you would like to do, you know, the, like, if we do the grant, the what is it, the tax credit?
Yeah.
You know, type of thing, historic, you know, tax credit and things like that. But even then, there are a lot of the people who own these older homes. They've been in their homes for generations, and they're older now, and they are on massively fixed incomes and do not have the money. As we were going through the ones in Spring City, I'm like, well, these are absolutely lovely, but
they're out of town or people.
It's like people who live in Salt Lake and have a home in the Avenues, and then they come, they're like, oh, it'd be so lovely to have a home in Spring City. Well, I've got about $500,000 I could drop on that. Mm-hmm. I'll just do that. And so that's, we want people who actually live here.
Right.
To be theirs, like yours and mine and yours and yours. We, you know, we want to be the people who actually live here who are able to fix these homes up. So I don't know what the answer to that is, but it just really struck me when we were on that tour that the biggest drawback I see to our historic preservation is funding, is financial.
Really,
and that will always be the case, especially in a depressed area like this. You know, because what happens, you get old people like me, and I'm like, I don't know, I'm living on Social Security, so, I need a new roof. I'll figure out how I'm going to do that.
We've already got two avenues that we're working on. The one that we're doing, plus Preservation Utah does really, really low,
loans.
Like, see, super, super possible affordable loans. They pretty much give money.
So letting people know.
People just don't know this, you know.
There you go. So again, education.
Education.
I think that's probably one of the biggest things, because I think there are a lot of people around town who would love to know.
Mm-hmm.
I could get $5,000 and have somebody paint the trim on my old brick home.
That's a big deal.
You know, because I can't do it, and, you know, I'm going to have somebody else do it for me. But I'm going to have to hire somebody. So
we say, like, these barn tours or walking tours that we do, we have these preservation people come over and set up a booth and talk about
something like that would be great. Exactly. Just information booth, yeah.
Yep.
That'd be awesome.
And even information booths at local events, like 4th of July.
Yeah, 4th of July, the Utico, when they're there again, county fair.
So, hey, you want to know more about historic preservation?
Yeah.
And what your options are.
Anyway. But the tour was fantastic, and I was so grateful I got to go. It was absolutely fantastic.
Thank you for doing that, all of you guys.
Oh, that was my pleasure. Gosh.
At some point, I brought this up in our first meeting. With Dickie being on the committee, I'd still like to pursue the idea of a mural or a few murals.
I think that would be so awesome. I think that would be so awesome. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I mean, I've been through so many small towns, and those murals just enhance them so much.
Yeah.
Well, we've got the one about the blacksmith shop that's still on the other side of the dentist's office, and then we've got Candy's has a sign, but there's something, is it on the, something about hardware store on the CenterCom building, the Candy's on Main building, is there something on the south side of that one?
Yeah,
I was thinking, and then there's something about Lone's Car Wash on the, just before, on First North and stuff, so.
I'd love to paint more walls and more streets.
And of course, Maylutz still says Maylutz on the side of that building, and it's gorgeous and it can stay for now.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
That is like,
I'll put it on our walls list.
Yeah.
You know, at one point in time, you know how there's the buffaloes around the state?
Mm-hmm.
And they're all painted unique.
Like
oh, yeah. Or the dinosaurs in Vernal.
Yeah, we looked into doing sheep.
That's a great idea.
And it was.
they're too easy to see. That's a little bit of a sore spot right now.
So, but anyway, it's doable, but you know, you have to have businesses on board. So maybe in the future, when the businesses love their city,
the gal that lives next door to my son in Vernal is the one that paints all the dinosaurs there.
Cool.
For the businesses and stuff. And they have competitions during the year about where everybody paints their dinosaur or dresses them up and stuff like that.
See, those are the things we need.
If we get a space and if we get a business agreeing, because murals cost a lot of money,
yeah.
The business actually would love it because it's a beautiful way to.
Oh gosh, yeah.
And there are grants for it.
Yeah.
I could
get artists, and we could even have a friendly competition with artists by the city.
That'd be awesome.
Oh. That could be
really
fun. It would get a lot of energy here. People start paying attention.
That'd be fantastic.
That may be a fun thing to get involved in.
I love it.
We can set the theme.
We could talk to Dave Peterson and see if we could paint the side of this apartment building there next to the clinic up here.
That would be fun.
Or the...
Here's a fun fact, speaking of sheep.
Mm-hmm.
We were assigned to the Rome, Italy Visitor Center for 18 months. And this massive painting behind Christus in the Visitor Center.
Yeah.
It was done by Joseph Bricky, who did the sculpture here in front of the, what is it, courthouse?
Okay.
He did it. And when it came to doing the 40 sheep, he enlisted 40 different people, not necessarily artists. They weren't all artists. So because
sheep.
He wanted to emphasize the diversity of the sheep.
Oh my gosh,
so
I love
every
it.
Every sheep was painted by a different individual.
I love that.
I was one of them. I
did you paint
over
the sheep?
I painted over the sheep.
How cool.
Well, I helped with the mural. He's my best friend, so we worked together.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. In fact, the reason we got such an amazing sculptor to do that, he was so busy. His schedule was booked to the teeth. And I said, Joseph, please, please, you got to compete for this. He's like, I'm so busy. He's like, for you, I'll do it.
Oh my gosh.
And that's why we got Joseph to do that.
Thank you.
The second and third runner-up were not as good.
Okay, so we have that incredible sculpture by an incredible sculptor. How many people actually know that other than the 40 of us that were at the dedication of the building?
Did you know?
Can
I do an interview with you, just a quick one?
Yeah.
On that? Just tell that really quickly.
See, I think that'd be...
All right.
I think people are just not aware.
People just don't know, right?
Yeah.
Tell most things are.
Of the cool stuff.
Yeah.
So, I love
that's it. Really nice. Thank you, Mary. That was
great. Gosh, you're welcome.
Ralph. Are you interested in saying anything, giving us your feedback?
Public comment.
Just
yes.
Listening.
Public comment time. You know the drill.
I don't have any real comments. I'm just listening. I'm new here. I've only been here 4 years, so.
No, that's not good.
I don't have a lot of history here.
That's not good.
I've only been here 1 year.
Yeah, I've been here 1 year. It's okay.
There is no set time limit on something that, no matter what anybody says.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how long you've been here.
Do you want to call for an adjournment?
Yes, I think we should adjourn. And just before that, let's just say that next time we'll figure out a system to have assignments.
Good
so
idea.
We can move forward. Okay.
I'll think of a mural.
And
yes.
You think of a mural. That's your assignment.
Yeah.
Okay. So thanks everybody for coming. And if there's nothing else, then we'll adjourn this meeting at.
Motion.
Make a motion. That type of motion.
Can I call for somebody to make a motion to adjourn this?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
I second.
Great. Thank you.
Everyone,
thank you. Everybody. say aye if you're in favor of getting out of here.
Aye.
Okay.
Unanimous.
It's done.
I love
thank
this
you.
Group
you
of
guys
people.
Are awesome.
Yeah, you guys are so great. Thank you.
I will report on this meeting at the city council meeting and let them know.
Please do.